Hey there, Transformers Robots in Disguise fans. Welcome to another edition of the Transformers Robots in Disguise After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 4, Episode 10, Disordered Personalities. And guys, it's race day. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life.
From middle school.
Oh my god.
Not even gonna lie. This does require a little bit of context. This song was included in the Freaky Friday soundtrack. And we figured if we're gonna be talking about a body swap episode, we might as well talk about Freaky Friday for a little bit. And I will also find any excuse to listen to Simple Plan.
I mean, man, they were my childhood. It's weird.
I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where if you say it, people are like, you see the instant judgment.
Oh, yeah, but also the hair in front of your face, because that's how I was.
Just emo hair. Memories of, like, you don't actually remember seeing any of your childhood.
No,
you just remember
covered
seeing
in hair.
The other side of your hair.
It was weird. It was Hot Topic streaks. It was weird.
Well, hey there, Robots in Disguise fans. Today we're talking about disordered personalities here on AfterBuzz TV. Let me introduce my fantastic panel to my left, Alexis the Wrecker Torres.
Hey, everybody. You guys can find me all over the interwebs with my emo hair. TorresAttorres890.
And sadly, Katie Kia Prime Cullen could not be here. She's on an away mission to Cybertron. She's going to go take down some of those council members.
I knew it.
Flip a couple tables.
I knew it.
And by she's on an away mission, I mean I, Lord Megatron, have taken control of her panel.
Yes, especially because the cons have taken over.
And you guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's TheMenguin. Be sure to follow Katie at Kia J on all of the social medias, etc., etc. But yeah, this is a Decepticon table now. High five.
Yeah.
That is warranting a high five. Come to think of it, yeah, is this the first time just you and I have hosted a show together?
Yeah, we've never done a show together, just the two of us.
Girl,
you shouldn't have done that, Katie.
Girl.
Shouldn't have left.
So to wreak havoc.
The Autobots are gone. Decepticons are here to rule.
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about this episode. Sorry to everybody in the live chat. We got started pretty late, but Alexis has you covered.
I got you.
And we are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVRID for your guys' fun comments, which I want to give a shout out to somebody on Twitter already.
Oh, yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Raymond T on Twitter sent us the GIF of the technical difficulties fix it image that played on the TV in this episode, and it is kind of amazing.
I want
this GIF for forever. So thank you so much for that. Let's talk about this episode a little bit. Now, body swap episodes, especially when it comes to kid shows, can be done well
or absolutely terrible, depending on who it is.
Or not great. And I wanted to ask, what did we think of this one? Because this is a premise that we've seen done to death, but it's all in the execution.
And we kind of called it, too, at one point, where we were like, this would be interesting if we, like, tried to get them together. And
we
got to
have our body swap episode, and then, lo and behold,
we got
body swap episode.
No, I actually really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I love that it wasn't the usual suspects. Like, I'm glad that it wasn't, like, Sideswipe and strong arm switching bodies. Like, I'm really glad we didn't have that. Like, it was, technically Sideswipe did get strong arm, but she got
beat. No, they mixed it up in an interesting way.
Yeah.
They didn't fall back on, like, the lazy, like, oh, just those two switch. And then Drift and Grimlock switch.
Yep.
And then, well, I guess you need to mix it up a little bit because those are the obvious ones. And
then
B's the odd man out.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that they decided to have B as Grimlock, where he's like, I can't do anything, so figure it out.
And I gotta say, there are a couple things I really love about the way they sort of decided to parse all this out.
Sure.
One, I just love hearing Drift's voice coming out of Sideswipe.
Right? It's weird. weird, but it's also really gratifying because I'm just like, oh, this is my opposite in my head of just like the serious tone and just like, oh, it's just
well,
so good.
You could almost see like thousands and thousands of years in the future when Sideswipe has become like this grizzled warrior.
Oh,
like
that's
the sort of personality. Oh my God. Yes.
Let me tell you about the war, children. Oh my God, Grandpa. Grandpa Sideswipe, stop.
Grandpa Sideswipe, no.
We don't want to know. We just want to play.
We just want to go to the race day. Grandpa Sideswipe. Race days.
I'll tell you about race day. Okay, Grandpa Sideswipe.
Bring it down. Bring it down a couple notches.
Oh God. But no, yeah, I did like that dynamic. It was very interesting to see, especially because I know that for Drift, it's also just awkward because he's very set in his ways to the point where he can't even have his little mini-cons shooting out. He was like,
Yeah, no. Grimlock being in Drift's body was absolutely hysterical.
Adorable.
Well, for one, because he doesn't have a vehicle mode normally. So he's like, I have wheels!
I love that was the first thing, too. He, like, immediately just transformed into a car and just decided to do donuts all around the yard. It was beautiful.
I mean,
you have to.
I can't say I blame him. Like, if all of a sudden you had this power that you was previously, you know,
taken away,
unavailable to you, you bet I would abuse it.
Heck yeah! And I thought that he was gonna stay a car the entire time.
Well, it kind of reminds me of like when you're a teenager and you get a car for the first time, and you're allowed to drive it by yourself. I definitely did. Well, not like speedy donuts like this, but I definitely drove in circles in a parking lot before.
I mean, you gotta practice. Gotta learn how to, you know, do U-turns.
Oh no, this was just for funsies.
Oh, okay. See, I was that scared teenager who was just like Tina from Bob's Burgers, where I'm like going in one direction. They're like, no, Tina, turn, you're gonna hit that one car in the parking lot. And then just think. And I was like, oh, you're grounded. I'm never going to drive again.
How did you manage that?
It's a long story.
Well, Grimlock comes to find out that it's not so easy, especially when he hops into the body of a dad, basically. And he can't quite figure out everything about Drift's transformation sequence.
I was very confused why they couldn't attach.
I assume that it was solely for the visual gag and to see them like piggybacking, literally
adorable again,
and to hear Strong Umgore, that's adorable.
Also to get the adult joke that we got in this one as well.
I missed it. What was it?
Where he's like, oh, I'm having some technical performance issues, and I was like,
I thought he said equipment malfunction,
something like that, but same thing. Like, I guess because that's just, I'm just like, mm-hmm, uh-huh,
equipment malfunctions, wink.
I mean, again, like, I know that kids would be like, well, that sucks, but adults would be like, hee hee hee, like in the corner. But yeah, it was very interesting. I love that, like, our mini-cons were like, I really hope that our master gets back into his body soon.
No offense,
or anything.
When are we gonna get Drift back? Like,
just... Yeah, I was like, are you not hitting the right button? It's just like with Sideswipe having a hard time turning off her alarms, and he's like, oh God, she has so many accessories. And I was like, aw.
I like that, again, because these are Transformers, that we didn't really super dwell on the fact that he is in a female's body.
Did you see that little hip action?
Yeah.
You did? I was like,
Very sassy, very quickly. It was more of like, oh man, Strong Arm. Like, just because their personalities mm-hmm. clash so much. Like, he could care less that he ended up in, like, a body of a her.
No, he was like, oh, Strong Arm's body.
Boo.
I'm so upset.
And they have sirens. What? That's,
what do I do with these?
What am I supposed to do with those? That being said, though, getting an outside look at himself, I did find it hilarious that in Strong Arm's body, one of the first thing he starts doing is basically flirting with himself.
Right? I was like, okay, we've hit that wall of like, we're done. I'm done with you, Sideswipe. Where you can't. I mean, I'm glad that you're confident that you're like, hey, I'm looking good today.
Just like all the time.
So this I would date myself.
This is the view from the outside. You're welcome, everyone.
Like one of those, and I I was like, I think my eyes actually hurt from rolling them so much. Like, you know what's rev up and roll out? It's just my eyes. Just over
like,
and over.
You roll your eyes so hard that you end up actually rolling your head too, and then you hurt your neck, and you're like, well, now my neck is stuck like
and
this.
And I'm going to have to be out of work for 2 weeks.
Thanks for that, Sideswipe. Yeah, thank you for injuring me.
He hurts my soul all the time with his ridiculous vanity. But I did like to see it from his perspective, especially because Drift was just like, we don't have time for this. We have things
just
to worry
immediately
about.
Weirded out by it. Just like, nope, not about that.
Not going to do this with you today.
I will say probably, and like with this swap, I find the most interesting one, as you pointed out, is Strongarm ending up in B's body. Mm-hmm. And that is the most interesting one because it's not necessarily played up for laughs. It's just... it is somebody who idolizes someone else getting a chance to be that person.
So weird.
And really getting a firsthand account of what it's like trying to be that person, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. It was just, like, kind of awkward at the same time. She's like, yes, I am my hero. And I was like, oh, that's so cute.
But I'm my own hero.
So weird at the same time.
Everyone's a hero in their own way, sweetie.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh,
I thought it was adorable.
No, I appreciated it, but at the same time, I was like, oh, that's weird.
Well, again, it's one of, we brought it up a couple weeks ago when B was trying to be cool.
Oh, Lord.
She's like, you're cool in your own way. Yeah. Even though, like, she's, obviously B's not, he's the authority figure in this situation, so she was, like, humoring him as best she could. She really does idolize him, and we forget that because they've been a team for so long.
And we don't have to, and we don't necessarily need the dialogue to be, like, you know, him, her, not idolizing, but, like, ooing at the fact of just, like, I get to work with my hero every day. But the fact that she gets to be him, I feel like it makes sense why it went to her head so quickly.
Yep, she's like, I'm the leader now, because she's the police officer and the only one in the actual academy, the only actual cadet, she does like fall back on that sort of like, oh, okay, we're gonna do this by the book.
Yeah,
now that she's posing as B, she gets to say, okay, we're gonna do this by the book, and by the book I mean what I say.
Yeah.
And you have to listen to me. Of course, this team being what it is, that's the last thing that's going
to happen.
I was
like, if they don't even listen to B when he is in his own body, you actually think it's going to work for you? That was my
You think
first...
they're going to listen to the cadet who just happens to
be in the lieutenant's body.
Exactly.
Yeah, as soon as she was like, you have to listen to me, I was like, but
do
you
they
guys...
know?
I was like, you guys don't really listen to B at all, so...
I mean... technically, they have to listen to B. They don't have to listen to you.
No.
I mean, that's kind of how the hierarchy goes.
Yeah.
Even if he did kind of give her commands, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's fine. But, I mean, I did get a little irritated towards, like, the end of the episode where she was like, guys, drop what you're doing and help me. I'm like, but there's other... we have other Stunticons we have to worry about.
There is a multitude of baddies going on right here.
Yeah, you can't just drop one baddie to go get the... yeah, it was a lot.
Well, I think the other thing is, too, is she's probably not used to just being on her own during any particular mission. Like, she's used to working with another partner.
Mm-hmm. And if she usually does go alone, it usually doesn't work out very
except
well.
Except for that one time where she beat up Hungry Like the Wolf. And
yeah,
that was super satisfying.
Awesome.
That was super satisfying. That was great. But yeah, I will say that the flip side of that is that probably, sadly, the most uninteresting one is B in Grimlock's body, because it basically made for some good sight gags.
Yeah.
But it really didn't go anywhere, because we had to get him out of the way so Strongarm could have this experience trying to be the leader. There wasn't really much for him to do. And my only complaint about that is that you could make the lack of control over a situation, you can make that interesting.
Yeah.
And I just kind of feel like that was something that felt a little bit flat
in this
episode.
I was a little saddened by the fact that he didn't go with them. I mean, it was a smart decision as a leader to be like, hey, I clearly can't do anything on a race day. Like, that's not, I can't. It's not going to happen. But at the same time, if it wasn't race day, I would really like to see him trying to intervene with the group and being like, all right, guys, here we go. We're going to do it.
They had that gigantic crane.
I know. Like, you couldn't just hang out?
I think it would have been really funny if, like, he was like, okay, I'm going to be really composed about this and relinquish control of this situation. And then about 10 minutes in, go, nope, I'm not going to do that.
And then just, like, you see him speeding through, well, not speeding, but, like, getting his way to, like, the race. And, like, and people are being like, what's happening?
Crane coming through. Don't worry about it, guys. It's fine.
Don't mind me. Just on my way.
Again, it's one of those things where time, I guess, is a factor, and you have to figure out what you want to allocate your time mm-hmm. with in this episode.
And I didn't mind seeing that dynamic of B actually annoying Fix It. That was yes. very interesting to see.
That was hilarious.
I love it. Like, what would you do if you had a tail for the first time?
Hey, be cool. Like,
it's all right. I totally understand. Also, you're adorable in Grimlock's body, by the way.
He is. I mean, again, for all of our complaining, he is precious.
Yeah, especially because when like he's pacing back and forth, and Fix It's like looking at him because he's like shaking and stuff.
It is Will Friedle's voice coming out of a robot dinosaur body.
It's everything I wanted. Thank you, Cartoon Network.
Thank you for giving me this thing I never knew I always wanted.
Because you know, Grimlock's my favorite, and I love Kari Baiten who plays him. But like switching up another favorite voice actor of mine in my favorite bot is insane. Like, I was like, this is my episode. This is it right here.
Just like, yes. It's,
I just wanted to hug him.
Probably about as happy as I was with the detective episode, huh?
Yeah. No, yeah, pretty much. Because even though there were a lot of times where I was just like, oh, I really want you guys to, like, really get it together. But at the same time, I really liked the way that it worked itself out. Especially with Slash Mark. Whoa. Swoon much? Me right here. I was like, can we know more about this con? Because I want to know more about this.
This con with that buttery voice.
Oh, it's not right. And you told me who the voice actor was.
I did. Should we? All right, let's talk about that. Let's talk about our stunticons a little bit in this episode. Because, yeah, speaking of voice actors, one of my personal favorites happens to be in this episode, and he's shown up in this show before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for our stunticons, now they are clearly not the brightest crayons in the boxes because we have the Crown City Grand Prix where the winner becomes the ruler of the roads. Which, by the way, it's nice to see Casey again. I love her.
I was like, and also she was doing a great job in this episode.
She is so ridiculously competent at racing. Like, again, this is a weird dichotomy of, like, the people in Crown City.
I don't understand.
She's incredibly talented as a racer to the point where she is apathetic about being in first. Like, it's just... It's not a surprise to her. Nope. She doesn't feel any tension to the point where she feels like she can just learn Spanish.
I love that she's like, I'm bored. Let's do something else. And I was like,
let's do something constructive. I thought, while I win this race.
When she said that, I thought that she was just going to like air drum or air guitar her way through the rest of the race. And then when she's like, all right, Spanish 101, I was like, get it, girl! Like, learning another language.
Casey is a complex individual. And I'm sitting here going, man, she's won so many times. Like, she feels empty with winning. Oh, man, to the point where it's not even thrilling or exciting for her anymore. It's just a thing.
It's a tradition at this point now, which is weird to say.
I wouldn't even say it's a tradition. It's a habit.
Oh, there you go.
Winning is a habit for her.
But that's why I was hoping that maybe, like, one of the bots would have won. Yeah. I mean, and then, like, she would have been like, whoa, I really need to work on my stuff. But, like, we didn't get that.
But again, the flip side of that is that even though she's extremely talented, super observant, there are robot cars fighting and firing laser beams and making the road lift up.
And she's like, I don't remember hills here.
Huh. Weird. Oh, well.
And I continue driving.
And won.
Yeah.
Race Yay. Won. But our stunticons in this episode seem to think that actually winning this race means you get to be declared ruler of the roads, which I have to ask, was this Motor Master's idea? Or was this one of these guys, Slash Mart, Heat Seeker, Drag Stripper, Wild Break, hearing about it and going, that's how we do it? Because if this was Motor Master's idea, he's not the mastermind we thought he might be.
I think for sure, because it was televised, and there, and you know, it seems like it was a pretty big deal. Probably on the radio a lot, probably commercials, and he probably just heard, saw something about, like, whoever wins this one is the ruler of the roads, and he's like, ooh, boss, you gotta hear this great scheme that we gotta go in. And I'm like, oh my god, bring it back.
The humans do a G Gundam style competition every year for, to decide the ruler of the roads.
I was like, I love that it became a mob scene, like, immediately. It's just like, like, the tropes that came out in this episode were insane. I was like, how do we go from the detective to this? You know what? Never mind. I want more of it. Give it to me.
I was totally fine with it.
Yeah, I love it.
The only kind of disappointment, I will say that, like, we'll get to that later. I did have one, like, and this is from a big personal bias.
Sure, go
I did
for
have
it.
One problem with this episode being where it is in the season right now. But before we get to that, let's talk about our Stunticons, because we have Dragstrip and Wildbreak, who we've become pretty familiar with.
Quite.
Heatseeker, he was from the beginning of the season, right, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. And newcomer /Mark, who is voiced by David Kaye, the one and only David Kaye, who, if any of you guys are Transformers fans, he is the only actor to have portrayed both Optimus Prime and Megatron at various points in his career. He was a Sharkticon in like season one for this show.
Yes,
and
I remember.
He's popped up in various places throughout Transformers lore. But, oh my goodness, anytime he pulled... This was just a few notches below his Megatron voice.
And okay, so, that's what it felt like to me, but I was like, nah, I think I'm reading into that.
No, okay. No, this is just a couple notches down from the full flowery Megatron that he does, which is... So spectacular.
Sends chills.
Other places you might have heard his voice, he's Shishomaru from Inuyasha. And
sorry. Yeah. Brought back old, again, middle school, like, yes.
And more recently, he does a lot of voiceover for the John Oliver show, which always makes me happy to hear Megatron, like, go, hey, here, I'm going to tell you about this thing. Why is this still a thing? And I'm like, I don't know, Megatron. Tell me more. Tell me more about this thing that shouldn't be a thing.
I love him so much.
But I liked him as this character here, because again, when you have that kind of voice, there's this kind of gravitas to this character who basically is just kind of a minion,
which is weird because the voice that comes out of him reminds me of like a second in command, or he just like knows too much and is like maybe plotting something else in the woodworks. And I'm like, what's happening? Maybe I'm reading into it too much.
Maybe, but I feel like there's probably a lot of discontent within the Stunticon ranks anyway.
True.
Because Dragstrip is constantly trying to talk about how he wants to supplant, like, Motor Master for some reason. He's more vocal about it than Starscream.
Right? I thought that was a little odd. I was like, why are you saying, well, you should really keep it together.
He's like, guys, I'm so cool that I'm gonna win this race and then I don't have to hand over the title to Motor Master.
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell the boss what I'm doing.
One of these days. Like, it's like I said, you cast Maurice LaMarche in a role. He's not a bit character.
No. No, not at all.
That being said, I liked his and Wildbreak's dynamic a lot more in this episode than the last time we saw them, because I felt like Wildbreak was just, it was very mean-spirited towards Wildbreak.
Yeah.
And in this one, they had a little bit more of that, like, he had a little bit of his sassiness back.
Right.
He's like, oh man, what would Motor Master do if I took the title from him? He's like, probably run you over and then back up and run over you again.
I was like, wow. All right. Okay, Transformers, really make that visual for children. Dang.
Like I said, he got his sassiness back in this episode.
I was totally fine with it. That made me laugh hard.
I think that was probably the biggest laugh of the whole episode.
Same here for sure.
Maybe second to, like, Strong Arm Sideswipe actually like surfing on top of drift sites.
So weird to me. I was like, bizarre. Because I knew that they were going into like that slow-mo transformation. And I was like, okay, what's he going to do?
Which, by the way, that was a beautiful transformation for her.
And I was like, this is awesome. I'm really sad that it's not strong arm in her body, but it's fine.
Because again, it was beautiful. And I was like, that's really weird that it's side sway. Wait a minute.
What?
Was this like... I would have to rewatch it, and I would have to rewatch it.
What do you mean?
Like, was this a side swipe style transformation done in Strongarm's body?
Oh man, I didn't even think about that.
Oh,
because he usually does have the slow mo transformations usually, and it's usually pretty flashy.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah,
I think it might be.
Oh, if that's the case, that would holy cow! Holy cow, guys! Like that is a beautiful animation choice. If that's the case,
oh my god!
I need
Megan,
to rewatch
you just
it.
Broke my mind.
I only watched it the once before we came in here, so I would have to sit down and rewatch it. But yeah, I think that's what they did.
Oh my god! Oh my gosh! But yeah, that's I definitely wasn't expecting the end result, the landing, to be on top of drift slash sideswipe, riding him like a skateboard. It was weird.
Can we talk about their power, the Stunticons' powers for a hot second? Because,
yes.
Looking at the damage they do to this racetrack, which, by the way, they seem to be leagues ahead of all of the other drivers, which means Casey was even further up. So no wonder she's bored. There's no competition outside of the alien robots.
Oh my god, that's so sad.
But, the damage they do to this huge strip of road, I was like, oh, man, the infrastructure in Crown City is going to be so messed up.
Like, can you imagine the permits and stuff that they need to, fix all those roads and repave all those roads?
Okay, so side note, most of my commute on my way to work is blocked by construction because construction on regular side streets in Los Angeles is the literal worst thing ever.
Oh my god, don't even... it's like nightmare fuel for me. Like, I hate it.
So I'm glad that these look like they're very much out of the way sort of roads that hopefully won't cause any issues. But man, it just looked terrible.
I agree. It just But I also love how they thought they were going to be confident. Like, oh, there's two of us and one of you. And then and then he popped a wheelie and he's like, well, wheelie, really? And then all of a sudden, oh, hey, look at that. I can make the ground melt as I drive on it.
Really, wow.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Which great delivery on that line, by the way. Oh, yeah, really,
yeah,
wow. Really,
yeah, no, you're right.
Good on you.
Yep.
Oh, man. So I do want to point out that I feel like there is a little bit of a lost opportunity with the whole premise of this being the Crown City Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Because... And again, this is just personal character bias. I feel like this would have been a perfect episode for Blur to be in.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Like, his introduction in animated was on a racetrack. And, I feel like this would have been good because it's like
you
a competition.
You just want Blur in every episode and you know
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
But yes, I think that would have been a very lovely opportunity.
Especially when it's a competition like this and you get very competitive people like Sideswipe and Blur. And there's an interesting dynamic there, especially when, I don't know, some of those people are sore losers or maybe aren't the most honest people competing.
And it would add to Strongarm trying to be a leader and be like, guys, quit it. We really have to focus on this. And they're like, forget you. Yeah. We're going to race.
Blur doesn't work in this episode because the main focus is on the team dynamic in this very unusual situation.
But it would have been funny.
And the race is really just kind of set dressing for all those interactions and having to learn to work together. And, you know, everybody learns a lesson and a greater appreciation for everybody.
Yes.
But yeah, I just love Blur in every episode.
No, I think it would have been interesting if he showed up and then watched Fix It make this experiment, and he's just watching from afar with Danny and everybody, and then just being like, wow, this is different. And then having to work with everybody, not remembering whose name. And I love how B was just like, this is going to take some getting used to. I would just love to hear Blur say it every so often. I'm just like, Science, I mean, I don't know.
It would be kind of funny to have, like, sort of an odd man out, mm-hmm. like, constantly getting mixed up of, like who am I watching?
I don't know who I'm talking to.
I will say another potential missed opportunity here, and I think it's great hearing Will Friedle's voice come out of a robot dinosaur. I think that's great. But something I also really like is when they do body switch episodes and the voice actors stay the same, and they just start doing impressions
of the person
that's swapped into their body.
That would be,
like,
really funny.
Did you ever see the Justice League episode where Lex Luthor and the Flash switch bodies?
Yes.
Like, that's a perfect example.
I love that episode.
Clancy Brown, who does the voice of Lex Luthor, just having to pretend to be the Flash is really funny.
That episode is everything to me.
So I feel like this was a kind of a missed opportunity because you could have had a lot of fun with the actors in terms of, like, who's imitating who.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, this is a show for kids and we want to keep it simple for some of the younger ones.
Yeah, because they'll be like, I'm very confused. But I feel like it would have been funny to see, for sure.
Yeah, again.
Maybe another time.
But I think we need to roll on into some predictions pretty soon. But do we have any final thoughts on this episode as a whole?
Do we think that Fix-It is going to be fixed by next episode? Or is he going to be still stuck in his control panel?
I mean, he did say it could take, a couple hours. A week, month, year. Who knows?
Oh my God.
Oh, could you imagine that entire cycle?
Oh, Lord. I just feel bad for him because he's just like, I think there's something wrong with my optics. And it also really freaked me out with no
light. Oh my gosh.
Light.
Like, seeing the vacantness was so upsetting.
I was like, okay. I think,
like,
I
it's even more upsetting than when he went into, like, Terminator mode.
Because at least
because there's still a consciousness there. It's like,
no, that's an empty shell.
Like, you imagine, like, a couple seconds more would go by and he would turn to gray and then just topple over and you're just like, no!
We've been watching too much anime. But yes, my first reaction when, like, they turned to Fix-It and there was nothing there, I was like, is Fix-It dead? We can't do that in a kid's show.
They just kill him in the last 30 seconds of the episode.
That's it, we're dead. Fix-It's just gone.
Oh, that is so mean.
Oh my God. Kurtzberg, what have you done? Now, I feel like if that was the case, he would have, like, went missing. Not dead, but it just really freaked me out.
Although, how great would it be if then we have to go into the computer to go get Fix-It? And we could have our Tron episode. Speaking of, Slashmark also had, like, this cool little, like, Tron-style disc that he had as, like, part
awesome.
Of his weapon. I am all about those Tron-style disc weapons.
I'm always down for that.
Oh, yep. Anyway, guys, if you guys have any final thoughts on the episode, we're going to go ahead and give you a chance right now as we talk to you really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. It keeps the lights on here, keeps us at this fun desk. If you guys do, it lets the producers know that you guys like hearing us talk about giant robots and their shenanigans and the hijinks that ensue. And if you guys do, you will get a shout out on the show. We don't have any new ones this week, but be sure to go ahead and do that again, because not only that, but it's also kind of the highlight of our day when we see people like happen to like the show that we're putting on. That's just me personally. So let's move on into some really quick rapid fire predictions.
Buzz TV predictions.
So thoughts?
I mean, I'm trying to figure out because I feel like with Fix-It, I feel bad because everyone just kind of left him in his console. And I was just like, well,
he fixed you all. Okay, cool. Yeah
we're just going to
leave
you
him
there.
Be.
I mean, I'm assuming that probably Denny or somebody probably came back and was like,
they'll fix him.
So but. I'm hoping, but I would like to see if he's actually still in the console when they come back. I feel like I'm not sure if we're going to get another filler episode before we get a combination, or you know what I mean, or if we're just going to jump right into it. Because I feel like we're always getting that tease in the beginning, and then something obviously goes awry, and then we just kind of forget about it, and we just do our con of the week. But I'm not sure. I'm a little...
I would not mind if Slashmark was our con of the week next week,
I'll take it.
I would totally be content with that.
Yeah.
I think... I think this is a clear indication that Motormaster is not the mastermind that we thought he was. I think he's an intimidating presence, but again, I think they're thinking too small. They have a small team, but I don't think logistically they really have a good grasp on the world that they're in.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when push comes to shove, Soundwave is going to mop the floor with these guys.
The only
thing they have going for them is raw power.
True. I just really want to see if we're going to get a training session when we have finally get into a combination, yeah, or if we're just going to, like, hey, we're going to wing it, go.
They have raw power going for them, but that's going to fall up. I feel like they're laying a lot of groundwork for that to fall apart,
yeah,
with drag strips constant, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the leader at some point. So at some point, that's going to fall apart. So even that, they're not really going to have a ton in their corner when it comes time to, like, try to take over the roads.
The ruler of the roads. I don't know. But yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't think it's just going to magically get together.
How funny would it be if they were like, well, she rules the roads now. We tried, we failed. That's it for our scheme.
Can you imagine they, like, try to, like, take, like, kidnap her or something and be like, tell us, give us the
relinquish
title.
Your title.
What are you talking about? It's just a trophy.
Here. I have, like, 50 of them.
You could just take
weirdo
them. Yeah, and then just leave. God. I did it, Master.
I did this before lunch.
You take all of them if you want. Jeez.
They mean nothing to me now. Well, on that existential note,
oh,
Alexis, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You guys can find me all over social media at atores890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. I'm on a few after shows here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm doing Sense8. We only have 2 episodes left of season 2. On Mondays, we have, obviously, Robots in Disguise here with Megan and Katie. And Sundays, I have Winona Earp, and on our sister network, Popcorn Talk Network, where I talk about Star Wars with awesome people, called Jedi Alliance. You should definitely check it out, because we're going to be doing a watch-along this Saturday. This Sunday of The Force Awakens.
That sounds like so much
fun. Yup. So we're going to sit, watch, and go through all the emotions.
Awesome. Yes. Well, have fun with that. That's going to be amazing. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz and write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out the latest episode of The Shadow Radio Recreation, where I do the voice of Margot Lane. Follow Katie at Kia J on all of the social medias. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Cons rule!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.